Welcome to the Football Historian Podcast.
By all means, enjoy it.
He will go right to the very top.
Dos, tres, cuatro times.
Here we go, Germans.
I will turn these results round.
All right, that's good manners.
There's animosity, but there's no fight.
You can't beat them, join them.
How do you make me feel sick if I look at you?
No, I want to fight here.
But don't drink, don't sleep with women, don't drive fast cars.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit too!
Hello, welcome to the Football Historian Podcast. I'm joined by Gregory Vignal. I'll do the French pronunciation
yes.
for you. Thank you very much for coming to my garage. Which I think, you know, on that side of the camera, it looks a bit different to this side, but I really do appreciate you
my
making
pleasure.
The trip down. Obviously, you're here. We just quickly address it. You're here for the Liverpool Legends game. So how's that? You're playing at Anfield. How's that going to be for you again?
I think it's going to be massive. It's always important because it's for a good cause, you know, and always nice to see the lads, the fans. And just be back and feel.
Yeah,
so,
it's a special place.
More than a special place.
From my biased opinion, I think it's the best place, but I'm sure you'll agree as well. But if we start on your move to Liverpool, you came as a teenager. I read in an interview that you did with the club, you had interest from PSG, Celta Vigo, Valencia and Barcelona. So who was the closest after Liverpool that you were going to join?
Barcelona.
Yeah.
And Paris Saint-Germain, really close as well.
Yeah. So you had any regrets you didn't sign for one of them or...?
No, because when I had a phone call from Gerard Rouillet, I couldn't say no. The boss was really good, you know, and so I had a meeting with him in Paris, and it was straight after the Euro. And it was a dream for me to come and play in England. So
yeah, well, obviously I'll agree with you, but Gerard Houllier, you've touched on him there. There was a big French connection at that time. Was that was that a massive reason why you came? Was it because of him?
Yes, of course, because Gerard was the DTN, you know, at Clairefontaine at this time before as well. So he was managing the French national team. We close with Christian Damiano, Jacques Crevoisy as well, Patrice Berg. So, and he told me one day, I think he watched all my game for, I think, 3 years. Before to sign me, unbelievable.
Yeah, and you were a teenager at that time still as well.
I was maybe 17, so 18 until for the next 3 years.
Yeah,
and I decided to say yes.
Yeah, well, what a man! I think, you know, obviously we know what he achieved at Liverpool, and it was a great reason for you to come. But there was competition for places. Immediately, you were up against Jimmy Traore, Christian Ziege, and Jamie Carragher was filling in as well. Because obviously, I think Marcus Babbel obviously had his illness problems. Were you surprised with how many opportunities you got so quickly at Anfield?
I think I've been lucky first and foremost to sign and to play for this football club. I had my chance. I think I always gave my best for this football club right from the start. Of course, when you are playing for a big club, there is big, massive competition. It's normal. You have to accept that. And I was doing well, up and down on the left-hand side, and unfortunately, I had a massive injury. So, but that's part of the life.
Well, who impressed you most when you came there in terms of being a left back? Who did you think was going to be hardest? Like Traore, I know he's a bit of a centre back. Ziga was playing midfield. Carragher was maybe a bit of a centre back too. But
everybody, because like I said, you know, it's a big competition. International players. So it doesn't matter if you're playing left back, right back, or centre midfielder. I mean, there is big names.
Well, and in terms of a first season at Liverpool, Liverpool went three trophies. It's not a bad first year to have at the club. You're on the bench, Barcelona home and away. You're on the bench, Arsenal, the FA Cup and Alaves. But obviously just being part of the squad, part of the celebrations. What was it like to watch them win all those trophies?
It was just massive because be part, you know, of doesn't matter. I mean, if you are starting or you are on the bench, because there is so many games to play before to reach the final.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if you ask, I don't know how many players would be happy to be, you know, on the bench, you know, and winning these trophies. I mean, it was a dream, and what a year. I mean, the trouble was unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a squad. We had a fantastic squad.
Yeah, but I say you need a squad to be playing. I mean, Liverpool played every single possible game that season, which is not many teams do that. And then to win three of the tournaments you were in is quite impressive. But the one game you did start was Charlton. It was in May, end of the season. It gets forgotten about because that was the game that you had to win in order to get Champions League football. So why did you get the nod for that one? And were you nervous for that, or what was the feeling around that?
I think we won, no?
Yeah.
5-1?
I think 4-0 it might be.
Robbie scored maybe a trick, no? I can't remember, yeah.
Yeah, but plenty of goals.
And we played well against them. We had a really good game. But most importantly, was to be qualified for Champions League.
Yeah.
And that was the main target. Arsenal played so well this year as well, so it was difficult, you know, to catch him. But it has been a great year one more time.
Yeah, that's it. As you said, what were the celebrations like? Because obviously it's FA Cup, you can't celebrate, you've got the UEFA Cup. UEFA Cup, you can't celebrate because you've got that Charlton game. Yeah. Was it just like relief or was it exhaustion?
I think that's what the boss told us after each game. He said, guys, there is another target, so we have to prepare. We have to make sure everybody is ready. So he said, just enjoy for an hour. But think about the recovery and we have to prepare the next game. So that's part, you know, when you are playing for a club like this, that's part of your job. And he was right.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, at the end of the year, we won everything.
Yeah, well, that's it. You don't win without that mentality. And obviously, that's
the mentality is a big part. Yeah. Mentality played a big part, yes. Yeah.
Well, we see what Klopp says today about his team, mentality monsters. But, you know, to win 3 trophies in a season, you know, that shows great mentality. Yeah. The summer comes, John Arisa signs. Obviously, is that a bit gutting to see a left back come in when you're trying to stake your claim there, or is that just what you?
But you know, if you remember one article, I can't remember for which newspaper he was. I think after the Everton game when we won, they said we were the best left side, you know, in the UK.
Yeah.
So John could play left midfield. I could play left midfield as well. He was capable to play left back. I was capable to play left back. I mean, I would enjoy to play with him on the left-hand side, you know. And of course, he's a big player. He was a big name. And he played really well for Liverpool. But he was my teammate.
Yeah.
So for me, I just love it.
His friends over there. Well, he gets the nods for the Bayern Munich Super Cup final. But after that, you're the mainstay left back for a good few games. You know, first couple of months of the season until the Grimsby game, and that's when you're injured. I'm sorry to ask you about it, but
no, but that's part of the life.
What can you just explain that injury to us and what happened?
It's a funny feeling because I had a really bad afternoon at the hotel. I was really tired, and so before to go to the team talk, I am in the lift with the boss, and after the nappy, I was tired, you know, and I said, Greg, maybe just speak with the boss and tell him you are tired, you know, for tonight. You might need the rest. But because you are young, you want to play because you never know, just he gave if your teammate play better than you.
Yeah.
So I said nothing. And I can remember like it was yesterday, you know, I see the action, the ball and everything. But that's part of the football, you know, and it's a big, massive injury. And
so what injury was it? Sorry.
3 cracks on my left foot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it cost me, I think I was out for nearly a year.
Yeah.
And that's maybe cost me my long career at Liverpool. But after I went to Glasgow Rangers.
Yeah, so you had some good teams. Obviously, I think you had one substitute appearance at the very end of the season, but I don't even think you came on, you were just on the bench.
Yeah, I think it was against maybe Aston Villa, West Ham. I think it was same time like Nicolas Anelka.
So it's right at the end of that. And then was that just your target? You just think, I just need to get back in the team? Or were you just...
But I was really, you know, upset to come back. You know, I was really upset to show to the staff and to the boss, okay, I'm ready again. I'm ready to go. You know, week in and week out, doesn't matter. But after, it's something you can't control.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Liverpool then started sending you out on loan. You had quite a few different loan moves. You got Bastia, Rennes. Again, my French accent might let me down.
Yeah, that's pretty rich.
Espanyol and Rangers. Yeah. Obviously, I know you've got a connection to Rangers, but just in those first three, what was it like, you know, going to different countries, playing football? How was it?
Going to France was okay because, of course, it's my country. Going to Spain was a lovely experience because of the quality of the Liga. I was playing with Mauricio Pochettino at this time as well, for example. I knew the manager because the manager was Luis Fernandez from Paris Saint-Germain. And the assistant manager was my coach at Montpellier when I was young, you know, with the reserve and then the 18s. So great experience. And after, of course, going to Glasgow Rangers was a massive, massive because but that's the time when Benitez came, when Rafa came, and it was 50-50 because he said to me, I think when he signed Aurelio, so I was close to stay, you know, and I mean, what a chance to play for a club like Glasgow Rangers. Yeah.
Did you know much about Scottish football? Was it a surprise how big Rangers were, or were you already excited?
It's like an institution, this club, you know, it's like Liverpool. I think I did really well over there because I played for Liverpool first. And I learned, you know, the British mentality, what it means to be a winner week in and week out, to play for a massive club in front of a massive crowd, because Anfield is Anfield, but Ibrox is Ibrox. So I can tell you, it's a difficult place to go and to win as well. Yeah. And of course, the Orpheum game. So yeah, great, fantastic experience. And I came back as a coach for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I'm still... still living over there. So
we'll touch on that later. Yeah, okay. I just want to ask you as well about Portsmouth. You know, it was quite a good team at that point. The likes of Linvoy Primus, Matty Taylor, Pedro Mendes, Loire. It was quite some cult heroes, I would say, from the Premier League era. What was it like playing at
Portsmouth? Laurent Robert as well.
Sorry, great players.
Pompey is a special place. I really enjoyed my time over there. After, of course, unfortunately, Alain Perrin, the manager, left, and Harry came in January, so it was a little bit more difficult. But a special place to go to play at Pompey. And tough place to go and win.
Well, you also had spells at Southampton and Birmingham. Do you think English football was the best football?
Yes.
Okay, great. And if you had to pick, after Liverpool, your second favourite English club, who would it be between Portsmouth, Southampton and Birmingham?
I would say, it's a tough one, maybe Southampton. Because I really enjoyed, you know, my time over there. I scored goals as well. So for a left back, it's not too bad. But Pompey was good as well. So it's difficult because Pompey was in Premier League, Southampton, different time. Yeah. Birmingham, I really enjoyed because it was with McLeish as well, with Alec McLeish.
Yeah.
But I had a massive injury after Manchester. No, not after Manchester United, against Portsmouth at home. Hamstring one again. So I really enjoyed all my time in the UK, to be honest with you.
Well, not bad clubs to choose from. Yeah. But we'll go to a quick break and then we'll come back and talk to you a bit more about your career. Are you looking for a Kazakhstani football team to support? Then I think FC Kemi is the team you should support. Do you agree?
Growing up as a child, I always had FC Kemi posters on my bedroom wall.
Well, and all the children of the Kazakhstani future will have FC Kemi posters on their wall, because FC Kemi is the team to support. And because of that, Tom has made us a chant that we're all going to follow. So,
up the Kemi, up the Kemi,
up the Kemi. Make sure you follow them on all the social medias, all the posts and all the things you should follow will appear below us right here. And you should be a supporter of FC Kemi.
Live, laugh, Kemi.
Okay, welcome back. We're still here with Gregory Vignal in the garage talking about football history and obviously what a career you've had. But I want to go to something more recent, women's football. Obviously, it's growing, it's massive. You started being, like, you got your coaching badges, you went into Rangers, you're in the men's academy, yes. And then you helped launch the women's team, basically. But what was that like? What was it like to be involved in women's football? Whose decision was it and how did you get involved?
I've been involved because I had a phone call from Mark Allan, the technical director. And of course, he had a chat with Steven Gerrard, with the boss at this time, because I was doing the academy in the first team. So they asked me to do the women's project because of the World Cup in France. So sounds good. And I wasn't prepared. I was on holiday, you know, walking, you know, on the sand, south of France, and I had the phone call. So I couldn't say no to Mark, because Mark had been unbelievable with me. He gave me my chance, you know, to come back to Rangers as a coach, as the academy. Really close with him. I'm still really close with him. He's a good friend of mine. And I said yes. So it's a different world. But I really enjoy it because I think we've done a great job. We try to make this program really professional, with professional player contract, using the men's facilities as well at Murray Park at this time. So great experience. I learned a lot, because the women's are completely different. But a great experience.
Yeah. And is it something you want to do again in the future? Do you
think no.
Okay.
So, with all the respect I've got for the women's, it was a great for 1 year.
Yeah.
But no. It's not. It means it's. I would enjoy for 1 year, yeah. But
you, that's you done.
Thank you very much.
So if Liverpool women's come knocking tomorrow, you're going to say no to the job. Okay, well, you've just touched on them there, Stephen Gerrard.
The men's, yes.
Okay, so well, there's a vacancy this summer. You've got a chance here.
I have a Chevy's in front, I think.
So Stephen Gerrard, touch on there. He was manager at Rangers at the time. Yes. Obviously, you were in the academy. It was a great time for Rangers. But yes. Just first of all, on Gerrard, what was it like to be reunited with him?
We had a great time, really good relationship. Of course, he was the boss, not my ex-teammate, not my friend. So I always called him the boss at the training ground, Wyatt Brooks. And I think he done a great job to stop Celtic, you know, 10 in a row. Good spell in Europe. We tried to work really hard as well in terms of scouting, you know, to bring, you know, some good French players, but I think the market was too expensive. But no, I think he done a great job. The staff as well, Kalimak and the boys. But and he won the title, so I was really really happy for him.
Yeah.
And I had the chat when I left, you know, and they tried everything to keep me. But after I went to Marseille, when I had a really good chat with him on the phone, I was in sitting in my living room and we had a good chat on the phone. But yes, I think it's a great experience for him.
Yeah. Well. I was going to touch on it because he went to Aston Villa. He's currently in Saudi Arabia. He's took a lot of ex-Liverpool coaches from Liverpool's yes. academy with him. Obviously, you worked with him. Was there ever a chance that you were going to go to Aston Villa, go to Saudi Arabia? Or
you should ask him. And I went to Marseille, of course, so yeah. I was under contract. And after I was in Dundee, so quite pretty busy. And, but look, maybe one day, if... he knows, I think, my character and my knowledge. So if one day he wants me for anything, he knows where I am. I will see him tomorrow. So.
Again,
but always know it has been a really pleasure to play with him first and foremost and to work for him, of course.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. He obviously had a lot of respect for you as a player and as a coach. But what's the plan for you for the future? What's your dream?
Well, but I just left my job, you know, at Versailles. I was managing the first team, you know, men's football and championship, League One championship, if compared with England. In Paris, we were playing next to the Parc des Princes. So, good team. Unfortunately, I've been sacked 2 weeks ago. So that's part of football. And now I think I will enjoy the next 6 weeks. Just try to prepare my body again, ready to go. Just make sure I'm ready to go. Working on my style of play and just looking after my wife, my kids, at times with the family, because it's a big demand as a manager when you're number one. It's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And so yes, I think I need now time for me just to relax and I will be ready again. Ready pretty soon to go again.
Yeah, and obviously you've got relationships with Scotland, France and England. What's the... who's maybe if I say after Liverpool and Rangers, where's the dream? Where do you want to be managing?
Well, I've been... now it's easier for me because I've got a pro license. So of course, I've been approached by Championship Club from England. I've been approached from League One in England. So we see my agent, Steve Honor, is working on that. But it needs to be the right project. I would like, you know, to start to get my staff, you know, and if it's possible to choose, you know, one or two people, just to make sure you're ready, because when you are starting a new project, it's really important to clarify, you know, each role. So yeah, I'm looking forward. I would like to honestly come to England. Why not for Liverpool as well, the under 23? I don't know. That depends, yeah. You know, what's going on. But yeah, I'm really looking forward for next year.
Yeah, well, I just touched on like a Liverpool academy job as well. I think Gary O'Neill was working there. He's now doing really well at Wolves. So obviously, you know, some people might see it as a step back or a step side where he's going somewhere. But, you know, to have the access route, obviously, that I'm sure that'd be exciting for you. And just touch again, finally, on the fact that you're here for the LFC Foundation and you're here for the the legends game. So how important is it? Or let's go first. What was it like to get the call to say, do you want to play in the legends game?
It's always a pleasure. I mean, it's an honor.
Yeah.
First and foremost, to play for this football club, it's an honor. But be part of the family later on, you know, and another phone call. And when, you know, just the answer is only, it's always a yes. It's just simple because come back to Liverpool and play Anfield again. I think tomorrow we are maybe around 60,000.
Yeah.
So really close, yeah, 58 yeah. or 60. Yeah, yeah. It's just a pure pleasure and honor.
You got to score?
I don't know. We'll see. I think I hit the bar or the post. I never score on field, unfortunately.
Well, why not?
So it could be tomorrow. So
you have to take Gerrard off the pens, maybe.
Yeah, but if there is a penalty, I think he would take it. So no chance.
He might have a hat-trick by that point.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll go to another quick break and then we'll come back and talk about a bit more about football history. Welcome back to the next section of the Football Historian Podcast.
Sorry, Pete, I'm really sorry to interrupt you. Where did you get that shirt from?
Oh, this Latium one was just from Classic Football Shirts. Where did you get yours from?
Thank you. Mine's from Classic Football Shirts as well.
Wow. Well, when I bought my shirt, I used the code TFH10 to get 10% off all orders. Did you use the same?
I did. I used a discount code. I think it was the same as yours.
Oh, TFH10. Oh, that's great, because if you want to get 10% off all your orders, you can use TFH10 at classicfootballshirts.com.
Unbelievable deal.
Welcome back, Football Historian Podcast. Joined by Gregory Vignell today. Thank you once again for coming in. So this is the Football Historian Podcast. So I want to talk about football history. Yes. I want to talk about your first game as a fan, as a child, or your first memory of football. What made you fall in love with football?
French club or English club?
French, or whatever.
French, but I am born in Montpellier, so Montpellier was my first team to support, of course. But I fell in love, of course, because I'm living really close from Marseille. So Chris Waddle, Jean-Pierre Papin, I was supporting Olympique de Marseille. And I fell in love with this team because I think the player was unbelievable. And Bernard Tapie, that's another discussion, but he was a clever guy. And I watched Eric Cantona, David Ginola, you know, and the first French players, you know, to play in England. And at this time, Canal Plus, you know, was the main, you know, to watch the English football, the channel was only Canal Plus at this time. So I was watching Canal Plus and I fell in love with the English football. And my dad was supporting Liverpool, and my granddad as well. You know, when the time when Saint-Etienne was really good?
David Fairclough scoring against Saint-Etienne.
My dad was at the game.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Saint-Etienne. Yeah.
Crazy, yeah?
Yeah, so the small world.
So, and my granddad was a big Liverpool fan. So when he knew I was signing for Liverpool, he went mad.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, what was your favourite game? And I'll say as a player, and then maybe... In your childhood, what's like the game that you remember, but then playing in?
As a player, I will say my first Liverpool game, of course. Yeah. The first time when I heard You Will Never Walk Alone against West Ham. Right from the start, dark night, a little bit of rain, lights on, full house. My parents and my girlfriend at this time were at the stadium as well. So, and we won 4-0. So it was amazing.
Special day.
That is, of course, it's a special day.
And then, child, obviously, you get into football early, but what was it like as a child? Is there a game that you remember as a Montpellier or a Marseille fan?
I would say the Montpellier Manchester United because it was the first European game. Yeah. You know, big one Montpellier, and I was, I think, 10 years old.
Yeah.
My mom said, "You don't go to the stadium." I said, "Yeah, I will go." No, you don't go. It's too risky.
Yeah.
So I tried to escape to go watch the game.
Yeah, but that's obviously great. I mean, that's what makes you fall in love with such a game. I read an interview before in one of the programs you just signed for me. When you signed for Liverpool, you said that your inspirations growing up, this is what you said in 2001, were Platini, Zidane and Roberto Carlos. If I could make a complete top five of like players who inspired you to play football, is there another two you throw in there, or are those three still in your top five?
Yes, after, but you see the video, I see a little bit of Maradona as well, of course. Maradona was unbelievable. Eh? to see him playing. And after, I will say Steven Gerrard, of course, because the way he was leading this football club as a teenager, at the main, as a captain, was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So Maaton.
Yeah, Maradona and Gerrard, you throw in yeah, a top five.
Yes.
Well, if I can ask you again, well, I'm guessing Gerrard's going to be in here, but your best five teammates across your whole career, who would you put in there?
I would say Steven Gerrard. I would say Barry Ferguson. I would say Mauricio Pochettino. Mustafa Hadji. And the last one will be Djibril Cissé.
Yeah, so there's some big personalities as well as his big players there. So is that what you like, a leader in the dressing room and yeah, stuff like that? Is that what inspired you?
Big memories, yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe your favourite era in football, so it doesn't have to be that you played in, you know, just what do you think the best period of football was, you know, when you were growing up, now, when you
were growing up? It's difficult because I think... I enjoyed my 20 years in football,
yeah,
to be honest with you. Up and down, of course, sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative. Sometimes you can be injured, sometimes you are flying. But I think God gave me a gift and, you know, he's just gave me the chance to play football. So, yeah.
And if I ask you on football history, obviously you've had a good career, you're still going, you're still managing, you're still a young manager trying to make your way in the game. Paul, how do you want football to remember you?
As a professional person, always professional. I am like a transparent person, and I'm working hard. So I'm working really, really hard to be good.
Yeah,
and
maybe
and to win things.
That's it, man. You'll be a Premier League manager maybe in the future. That's the dream.
That's the dream. Yeah. That's a massive, massive dream.
Okay, well, we'll go to a last break and then we'll come back and we're going to settle some of the big debates in football history. So we'll see you in a sec.
Hi, I'm Warren, the producer for the Football Historian podcast, and we're here today to talk to you about the Patreon subscription.
Yes, so for just £1 a month for the first 100 people, there's a lot of benefits that you get, and I think £1 is a terrific deal.
Pittance,
yes, £1 only, and you get early access, which means at least 24 hours before everyone else gets the episode, you get to watch it. There's also an extra section, we call it the Football Historian podcast Extra Time, and we ask all the questions to the guests that no one else gets to see unless you're a patron. And on top of that, you're the ones who get to ask the questions. You send them in, we tell you which guest is going to be coming and sitting in this chair. You ask them, we record it, you get to watch it, no one else does. On top of that, we do a monthly special. We did one last night. It was a quiz, you were there.
Yeah, Bedlam, and great content.
Yeah, so hopefully you can watch that. As I said, we've got a round on Linvoy Primus or Lionel Messi. We've done Mastermind stuff, all that. That's going to happen every month. The bigger this grows, we're going to do it even more regularly. Hopefully it'll be once a week. But we need your support. So to do that, £1 a month for the first 100 people. Your early support will be rewarded. From then on, it's £3 a month if you want to support us. If you want to pay £5 a month, you get all that we've just mentioned. But you get a poster. Warren will sign it. I'll sign it. All the lads. We'll get a few of the guests to do it as well. And we'll send that out to you. And then for £10 a month, you get all that. The poster. All the early access. And you get a free copy of any of my books. So I've done one on Billy Liddle, Crossing the Park, Tommy Lawrence. They're all worth at least £20. For just £10, you get a copy of the book, all the stuff we've already mentioned. We'd really appreciate your support. We cannot do this without you.
This really is a passion project, and anything people can put into it goes straight back into it. We don't take a wage. We're doing this for free. We're doing this because we enjoy what we do.
That's it. It all makes the content better. And I say from just £1 a month, you can make our dreams come true. Thanks for the support. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
The debate.
Welcome back. This is the debate where we settle some of the biggest debates in football history. And I'm going to ask you to settle these for us. We're asking everyone the same questions. I'm keeping a tally. I think I know who you're going to say for this. But Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, Paul Scholes. Can you put them in order for me, please?
Wow. Steven Gerrard, Paul Scholes, 50-50, and Frank Lampard. Do you want to know why?
I'd love to.
So, when you play against Paul Scholes, Paul Scholes was the brain of Manchester United. The player who organized everything. And he was right, you know, in the middle, the spine of the team. And he had everything. But what Steven Gerrard done with Liverpool as well, I think the way he led, I said the team, okay, he never won the Premier League, but be a captain for so many years, and so much pressure on his shoulder was amazing. So two British, English, unbelievable players, and I will say yes. So and Steven, Paul, and Frank.
Okay. Not bad players to pick from. So.
It's a difficult one, eh? Because yeah. If you have a look, you know, the four elements, you know, tactically, technically, physically, mentally, they are so strong, so good. So it's a tough question.
That's why it's a debate. I'm glad thanks for your opinion on it. I think I know what you're going to say here as well, because you've already mentioned one of these players, but an age-old debate in football is Pele or Maradona. Should you pick between them two for us?
So you ask me to choose between Pele and Maradona?
Yes, please. No pressure.
Wow, I would say Maradona.
He just someone you watch when you grow up?
Because I watch him, yeah. And Pelé is a king, of course, but I never seen Pelé play.
Yeah. So
I would say Maradona.
Yeah, that's fine, don't worry. Another one, which might be tough for you, Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi?
I would say Cristiano Ronaldo because Argentina beat France. I think Cristiano.
Yeah, so if you were picking a team, you could only sign one of them, Ronaldo was in over Messi, yeah.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, in the last 20 years, I think they're the best two players.
Yes.
Who's third in after them?
Ronaldinho.
Nice. But I think I saw recently, I think it was like last year or the year before, they asked all the Premier League players to name their favourite player. And Ronaldinho was like off the scale from all players. So he seems to have a player's appreciation. But what is it that you loved about Ronaldinho?
He's a magician. He was a magician with the ball. And at Paris, when he played for Paris Saint-Germain, it was good.
But
when
did you ever play against him?
Yes, of course. Yeah. When I was in Bastia, yeah. So... And he was my neighbor in Barcelona. When I was playing for Espanyol, he was playing for Barcelona. So, so we used to live in Castel del Fais, and so Ronnie was really good.
Was he ever up against you one on one, or?
But I think he never passed me. So yeah. Lucky.
He didn't put it through your legs.
When he was facing you in a 1v1 situation. I mean, what a player!
Scary.
I
will ask you again, the greatest team that's ever existed. So if we say like you could pick like a season or a two season window, but like who's the best team that's ever existed? Like Guardiola's Man City, Guardiola's Barcelona, the Spain World Cup team.
Guardiola Barcelona was, I think, fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Just the football and...
Oh, everything. Untouchable.
Yeah.
Unbeatable. Unplayable.
I think they came up against Ferguson's Man United and they outplayed them there. So that at Wembley as well, which I think is...
Yeah, but this year I think Barca was really good.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, and then this one I'd be quite interested to hear. Club or country? Because in England, in Liverpool maybe, it's definitely club over country. But do you have that same opinion? Or?
Well, club... Mr. Klopp, Sir Klopp, what he done for the club, amazing as a manager. Yeah.
Okay, well, would you rather win a trophy at club level for your club or win a trophy for your country? What would you prefer?
Country.
Yeah.
I missed the last step. I was so close to go with the national team and because of my injury. So, yeah.
Country is what country, be better, yeah. And another one here I've got... Buffon, Casillas, or Neuer?
Buffon.
And who would be second? Okay.
Casillas.
Okay. And why Buffon? Why is he the best?
Because for me, he was the best. Simple as that. I mean, not the skills, the. What a goalkeeper. He was unbelievable, amazing. So yeah. He's the number one for me.
He's your best, yeah. Okay, well, that's it. Maybe if I could ask the best left back. Has ever played, because obviously you've got a bit of experience in that position.
Best left back, Roberto Carlos.
I thought you'd say that after you said him at the start. Okay, well, that that concludes our interview, but that's okay. Is anywhere you want people to reach you? What are you up to at the moment?
Or? Please, if you can follow me on my Twitter account, Vignal Greg. So please follow me, and I would be really happy to see you, again.
Yeah,
and maybe see you tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be there. Don't worry.
It has been a pleasure for me to meet you guys, talk to you. And like we say, you will never walk alone. So see you tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. Well, thank you very much, and thanks for watching. I've been Peter Kennedy Jones. We've got Rick in the back, the editor, Gregory Vignal, and we will see you for the next episode.